South. And we're looking at the second week here, and we're looking at obscenity. We're looking at foul language. We're looking at how Christians ought to treat their mouth in such a fashion, and why Christians should watch our mouth in obscenities. And I'll be quite honest with you, it is a difficult thing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You're a cursor, or are you this? Well, it doesn't just mean cussing. We're just not looking at that. When I was a kid, I can remember people saying, oh, well, curse words are just man-made words. God doesn't have anything against these words. And I would say to you, sure, those words may not translate in Hebrew or Old Testament, but there was always foul language, or there was always things that were not decent in language. And even in the lost world, you know, you get a CD or a tape. I guess nobody buys any of those anymore, but you see explicit lyrics is stamped on that. The Communications Act of 1934 came into play, and the FCC began to regulate radio and television and what you can and can't say on there. They do not regulate the internet, which is why internet and podcasting and those things have become so much more as far as free speech. There's no fines or regulations on those things. But even the FCC, their goal is to keep from television and radio the profane, the obscene, the indecent from the listener's ears. And so even the lost world understands what is filthy communication or obscene or wrong as far as morality. But what does the Bible say about this? And clearly we understand some things from the Bible about cursings and about going out. Even Peter went out and cursed after he went and did these things. I don't know what Hebrew words or what Aramaic words he used. I remember being in Spanish class, and all of us rotten sophomores, we didn't care about what the Spanish teacher, we just wanted to know how to do the curse words in Spanish, right? And so that was like the first things we looked up. It's like, what's the curse words in Spanish, right? That was our immature way. But this is about dirty jokes, and here, what we're going to be looking at in Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, there was a scene here in this first century Gentile churches, a lot of regular conversation, because one of the major problems in these churches was fornication, was sexual sin. And so even in regular conversation, double entendres were made to make what even could be clean and turn it into a sexually perverse joke. So Paul is admonishing and encouraging here the church at Ephesus and all other believers to not take part in that, even if you don't think it's a bad word, but not to take part in it, as it is a part of darkness where we are supposed to be light. And so we look today in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be in the very first verse here this morning, and we're going to read down through the 8th verse. If you're able and ready, would you stand with me for the reading in honor of God's word in Ephesians chapter 5, commencing in verse 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light." Father God, I'd ask that you'd hide me behind your cross today, that you would allow us, Lord, to hear your word, to do your word, to love it, Lord, to act upon it, to speak it, preach it, teach it to others. Father, we ask for this blessing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible uses some words here that we want to understand. In verse 4, it said, neither filthiness. Filthiness is shameful talk or dirty talk. It's obscenity. It's things that aren't right to be spoken. These are the words that you would never say in front of your mother. And if you did, your mother might say something like, is that the same mouth you kissed your mother with? These are not words that are tolerated. These are not words that are tolerated in schools or in places of morality. You can see those things posted even at your local YMCA. No foul language. These are dirty or shameful talk. But then it says foolish talking, and the Bible word would translate for us as buffoonery. It's silly talk. It's talk that makes no sense. It's just cursing just to be cursing. I have told you before, growing up, I was a huge fan of hip hop. And you know, now growing up, I realize a lot of those songs could have had the same meanings and everything could have been just as good without the curse words. But it's buffoonery to some level. It's silly. Always tell people this, make your words count. Make your words count. People only listen so much, don't they? People are only going to listen to you so much. And so when you say something, make sure that what you're saying counts. My mother's father, he was a great storyteller, but I'm much like him. When he was around people, he was extroverted, but in his own time, he was very much an introvert. We would go to their house, and everybody else would be downstairs, and my grandfather would be alone in his room, and he really didn't come out. He'd come down and eat and say hello to everybody, and he'd go back up to his room. And kind of introverted in that fashion. But when he spoke, it spoke volumes. What he said, he used his words with wisdom, and it spoke volumes. And then it says jesting. It means vulgarity or irreverent talk. It's without respect. When we talk to people without respect or it's not reverencing folks, it's vulgar language. Then it says it's not convenient. It's not proper talk. And so we should have some proper talk when we're speaking with people. Why should Christians watch their mouth in obscenities? Pastor, why are you preaching on this? I'm not a curser. I'm not vulgar. Perhaps you're not, and that would be good. But perhaps you are around it, or you spend time in it, or perhaps you've just never known why Christians shouldn't engage in these things. Well, let's look at number one today. Imitate God in our speech. We should imitate God in our speech. The word here in the Bible is used in the very first verse, be therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers comes from the Greek word mimetes, which is where we get our word mimic or imitate. And so the Bible says we should imitate, be ye therefore imitators of God. Don't compare yourself to other people or to worldly standards, because our standard, our aim is God. Our aim is not what other people do. People say, well, I grew up and my parents cussed. So what? Your aim, if you're a Christian, is not your parents. Your aim is Christ. So what? Well, my teacher cussed. So what? Your aim is not your teacher. Oh, so what? The president cusses. So what? This person. The aim is not them. The aim is to imitate God. Imitation, they say, is the best form of flattery. God says, be ye holy for I am holy, or be ye holy because I am holy. That means when we imitate God, when we act like God, that blesses God. That is a part of worship. When we're acting like God and truly following him, it's flattering to God. It's if you could make God blush, the more like God you are, the more you would make God blush. The more it would flatter him, the imitation of him. Imitating literally honors God. Look at Colossians 3 and 8. You say, Pastor, this is hard, but this is difficult for us. But I want you to understand this. The Bible says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why does the Bible say, but now? Because at salvation, God makes this possible. Now, I believe that it may be a learned behavior. Growing up in a corrections facility, as far as being an officer, I wasn't in prison or in jail, but growing up there, the language was bad. And so I picked up on this and spoke vulgarity, and it was very difficult. And that was a trained and learned thing. That has been something that has had to be worked out of me and continued to be worked out. It's not easy. Don't let me act like it's just easy. There was a time where it was like, even after I was saved, where it was very hard to get that out of of your communication because it's so in you. But it's possible with salvation. You know, one of the most nasty things is folks who would take the Lord's name in vain. If you're a Christian and you would take the Lord's name in vain, then you're no better than an atheist. An atheist, think about this, will take the Lord's name in vain and they don't even believe in him. That's how ignorant it is. That's how dumb it is. How can you say that? How can you say that GD, literally, but you don't believe in God? So what are you saying? It makes no sense, and that's how ignorant it is for a Christian. That's how vain it is for a Christian, because we're not imitating God in our language. If Jesus Christ was on earth today, do you think that he would use any of those four-letter words? Absolutely not. If Jesus Christ was on earth today, do you think that he would be telling dirty jokes or that he would even laugh at the dirty jokes? And do you think that he would even be saying anything vulgar or obscene, indecent, improper, immoral, anything that's silly or shameful or dirty? Or do you think Jesus would speak with respect? Well, I know the answer to that. Jesus said, let your speech not be, what? He said, let it be yea, yea, or nay, nay. Everything else in between, make your words count, Jesus was saying to us. Don't say ignorant things. A lot of times we use curse words because we can't think of anything better. But we have a system. We have a Webster's Dictionary. We have all kinds of things that we have in our language, in our earthly language, that we don't have to insert curse words, that we are intelligent enough. And after our salvation, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, and you don't have to use dirty or immoral language. If we're imitating God, we're learning from the very best. We're doing it the very best of our abilities. I always say this, when we're trying to be like God, we're trying to be the very best. Why do anything if you're not trying to do it to the best of your ability? If I was going to be starting off playing basketball, I would try to be the very best of my ability. But my aim wouldn't be to be like the 12th person on the bench. My aim would be the best player. Nobody, think about this, when little kids want to go out and they want to be a baseball player, no little kids say, you know, I would like to be like Daniel Duarte. Now, that probably means nothing to you. This is a pitcher from the Reds that just got cut yesterday. If somebody says, I would like to be a baseball player, they say they want to be Ellie De La Cruz, or they want to be, I know he's old now, but at one time, Joey Votto. They want to be somebody good. They want to be somebody who is a good baseball player. If you were going to be a basketball player, nobody goes out and says, you know, I think that I want to be like somebody, Kevin Porter. Like, who is that? Well, he's just some random role player in the NBA. They say, I want to be like LeBron James or Michael Jordan or one of these great players. But oftentimes, as humans and Christians, our aim is too low. I want to be like my mom, or I want to be like my dad. Stop. We want to be like Christ, the perfect man. I always tell you this, and this isn't necessarily right or wrong. I don't listen to other preachers. I don't read books, a whole bunch of books by the same preacher. I don't watch people online. You know why? Because I don't want to be like any of them. I don't want to sound like them. I don't want to preach like them. I want to preach and be like Jesus. I want to be who Jesus has made me to be. Sure, we all have people who we have in our lives that we look up to, and we may have things about them that are in us. There's some of my training pastor in me. There's some of my sending pastor in me and some of these things. But at some level, you have to adapt and adopt to who God wants you to be. And as much as I love my sending pastor and my training pastor, they're not God. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like God. And in their godly aspects and the things about them that are godly, sure, we're matching up and aiming, but they're sinners just like me. I tell all of our young guys, I don't want Brandon to be like me. Listen, I said it this week. He's an okay associate pastor, but he's a really good electrician. 9 o'clock, nobody laughs at that. They're like, that's not funny. Like, he got all these lights up this week. He did a great job of that. He's okay at being an assistant pastor, but he's a really good electrician. But you know what? I don't want him to be like me. Xavier's my son, but I don't want him to be like me. Xavier will tell you, I'm hard on him because I tell him all the time, I don't want you to be like me. I'm counting on you to be better than me. I'm counting on you to be like Christ. I'm counting on you. Now, you were raised in church your whole life. You've been in Awana. I didn't have any of that stuff. And this isn't a poor me moment. I'm saying you've had it better. You've had a better Christian life. You're supposed to do better than me. I don't want my children to do worse than me or the same as me. I want them to outlive and outdo what I've done and what I'm doing. Amen. And isn't that the way that we're supposed to be in Christ? It would be foolish for Kenton and Sophie McInerney back there to say, we want Bertie to grow up and be like us. No, we want Bertie to grow up and be like Christ. They're great people, but they're not Jesus. Even in our speech, our aim is to be like Christ. And you know what? Christ never said a bad word. Christ never made a mistake in his word. You know why I know that? Because he's sinless. Christ, nothing ever came out of Jesus' mouth that was wrong. Now think about that. Some of you haven't been awake 2 hours yet and you've already said something wrong. Whether you texted it, whether you Facebooked it, whether you emailed it, your communication, no matter what it is. I was watching a movie the other day, and you know, this is crazy. This was foreign to all of us, you know, 20, 30 years ago. They were communicating through text, so they have like bubbles that pop up that you got to read because, you know, they're texting through because that's a form of language in our culture. Well, no, in our day, the only way that would happen is they're on the phone and you hear people on both ends of the line, right? But I guarantee you that in 2 hours that you've been awake, you've at least had a negative thought. It might not have been a sinful thought. Hear what I'm saying? You woke up and it was a negative thought. Man, it's so cold outside. I don't want to go out there today. That's a negative thought. Whether it's right or wrong, it's a negative thought. You woke up today, why does this have to happen? Why does that have to happen? Why can't this? That's a negative thought. Jesus never had any of that. Any of that. He was always right. We need to be right in our speech and imitate God in our speech. Number two, we need to invalidate irreverence in our speech. We need to invalidate. So if our aim is to be like Christ, how do we get there? By invalidating irreverence in our speech. To get rid of things that are irreverent, things that don't honor God from our speech. Look at James 3 and 10. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. So from the same mouth that you pray and ask God to bless you, from the same mouth that you pray and ask God to bless others, cursing should not come out of that. Bad things should not come out of that. Look at Proverbs 8:13. The word froward is used. It means unacceptable. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The unacceptable mouth I do hate, he says. Things that are unacceptable. Look at Galatians 5 and 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What am I aiming to see here? As Christians, we need to cut off or we need to get rid of nasty, irreverent talk, disgusting talk. Now, a lot of times this comes in the form of, again, there's such thing as cussing Baptist. That's not us. But if you have that thought process or in your mind or you go to school or to work and there's all this cursing and you think that's cool, you think that's good talk, fine, but it's not reverent to Christ. It's not Christ-like. It's not building up. And it actually, just let me be honest with you, because I can say this from a first-person point of view at times. There was nothing that I said in cursing that I couldn't have said without it. There was nothing that I couldn't have done. I didn't have to discredit God by doing that, especially when I say I'm a Christian. But you know what it's like? You go to a 5-star restaurant. You think about all the beautiful things about that and the ambiance of the place. And the food is A1 and every food critic says it's delicious. And you have a menu and you order the very best item that you can possibly think of on that menu, and the drinks are delicious, and all the carbonation in the soda is just right, and everything is just right, and you sit down and you have a waiter in service and they're doing a great job in serving. Everything is prepared. Everything is just right. The temperature in the restaurant is just right. The forks and the silverware are clean. The linen napkins are clean and placed just so nicely. The centerpiece is amazing and the conversation is good, and they bring your meal to you on a silver platter, and as you remove the platter's lid and begin to slice into your filet mignon, there's a hair in your food. That's what it looks like to God when we've got everything on the outside looking good, when everything looks correct, when we're taking all the proper steps, we're in church, we're reading our Bibles, we're in prayer, we're generally good, in quotations there, air quotes, but ultimately our mouth, our language is irreverent. Let me say this to you. If you're a teenager or a child here today, when your mouth is irreverent to your parents, when you're talking back, when you're saying bad things about them, whether it's to their face or behind their back, it's irreverent to God, because children ought to obey their parents, for this is right in the Lord. If you're married, when you talk about your spouse, one flesh, if you're saying negative things about them, it's irreverent. It doesn't have to be that it's a curse word, but that it's a word that is not honoring and pleasing to God. It's something that is making God want to close his ear. Everything else looks right and presentable, but there's a big hair in the filet mignon. It's disgusting. It's not appetizing anymore. It's not to think that we never have these conversations or talks, but you remember that word back there, and it talked about arrogancy with that forwardness? Sometimes we're so arrogant in our minds that we think God would never be upset about little old me, about my speech, about what I say, that God's not worried about me, and we think because we have grace that we're getting these free passes. But I'm just saying this to you as your pastor and as your friend, you will be judged at the judgment seat for what you say, what comes out of your mouth as well. There's no timeout. So I wish I could take a timeout sometimes. Anybody wish they could take a timeout sometimes and just tell God, timeout real quick, Lord. Let me take off my Christian clothes for just a moment. And let me just go step outside of that. Let me act like a lost person for a minute. Anybody here like want to just do that every once in a while? Sometimes somebody the other day cut me off in traffic. And if I could have pushed the timeout button, if I could have put pause on the live on the stream there, if I could have just paused live TV for a moment and stepped out of my preacher clothes and went out there and gave them a good cussing out, a good chewing out, I would have done it. If I could have said, God, don't hold this against me, don't charge me for this. If I could have stepped out of my vehicle, I'm in my truck, my new to me truck, and somebody cuts me off, how dare they try to run over me and Zora. Zora's her name. And if I could have stepped out of that truck for a moment and went down there and chewed them out and used every profanity and every vulgar word that I could have to describe that person, and I would have said, you, blah, 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 if I could have just had a timeout, but it don't work like that. We don't get to stop the clock on our salvation and act like we want to act for a moment. No, as dear children, followers, imitators of God, man, I'm so carnal that there's times I read the Bible and I wish Jesus would have cussed them out. When they were reviling him, this is the arrogancy in man. When he was on the cross and they're like, save yourself. You've saved others. Save yourself. If I was Jesus on the cross, I'd be like, you, don't you know I'm going to die? I'm coming back in 3 days. You'll be sorry. You bleep it. The FCC would have had to beep everything, because I would have been going off. We got the thieves on the cross being mad. Jesus is all gracious. And one of the guys and the other guys over there. And if I was Jesus, I'd have been looking over there like, do you know we about to die, you fool? Beep, 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 you beep, you beep. I mean, I would have been going off. Let's just be honest. You act like you wouldn't have been. But when Jesus wasn't saying a word, when Herod's like, oh, I've desired to see some miracle of you, and they're laughing and putting on a scarlet robe upon him and making fun of him, you know good and well what you would have been thinking. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to change the word of God, but sometimes I'm like, I read it and I've read it so many times, but I still sometimes in my humanity be like, Jesus, just get them this time. Like the word's going to change, you know? I've read the Gospels through thousands of times probably, and sometimes I just want to be like, Jesus, why don't you just tell Pilate, just tell him, like, you're being all diplomatic with your words. Won't you just be like, Pilate, you beep, beep, and why don't you just go off on him, Jesus? Like, it's not going to change, but that's because it's not godlike. It's not holy. So there's no timeout button. What if Jesus would have been like, timeout, Pilate. Let me take off the Son of God, Son of Man suit for a moment. Let me just be Jesus of Nazareth for a moment. I'm from Galilee. You know that's the hood. Let me speak like hood people speak. But he didn't do it because he's God. He's holy. And as imitators of God, we have to invalidate irreverence in our speech. We have to get rid of it. If you are in this condition today, I implore you and I beg of you to begin to invalidate irreverence in your speech, to get out the dirty jokes, the foul language, in whatever avenue of life you are in, no matter what stage of life you're in. Everybody else is doing it, so what? Everyone else isn't God, and everyone else is not who you're supposed to imitate. You're supposed to imitate Christ. And some of you are too hard-headed and too crass and too arrogant to fully get it. And let me be honest with you, because this is what it came down to for me. I just wasn't godly enough to want to get rid of it. I said, oh, my job is not the right kind of job. I need this. But the truth of the matter is, I could do it. Because God says I can after I'm saved. Oh, my friends all do it. Peer pressure. Teenagers, I'm talking to you for a moment here. Young people, listen to this. You never have to try to be cool with people who really love you. If you have to try to be cool with your friends, then they're not really your friends. Now, no offense to any of you teenagers in here, including my son, I'm cooler than all of you, and I don't have to cuss. It's just the truth. I told you, I'm cooler than a polar bear's toenail, so I don't wear no coat. Because I go outside, they say, how cold is it? They say, ice cold. All right, all right, all right. And some of y'all don't know that song, but anyway, we're not going there. Somebody says, shake it like a Polaroid picture. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. If you have to try to be cool around someone, now think about what it says. If you have to try to be cool, then them people ain't cool with you. If you can just be yourself, and if yourself is being like Christ, then that should attract other Christ-like people around you. And if you're attracting non-Christ-like people around you, then you're probably not as Christ-like as you think you are. I repel people who aren't Christ-like. They don't want to be around me. You know how I know that? Because all my friends that were my friends before I got saved at 22 years old don't talk to me anymore. And guess what? I don't care because I met a whole bunch of new cool kids that I hang out with. I met a whole bunch of new cool friends that it is what it is because I'm not trying to be like them or in the in crowd with them. I don't have to have a drink with them or go cursing with them or be at the bar with them because guess what? I'm not trying to be like them because I'm cooler than them because I'm cool because I'm like Christ and I'm not like the world. See that? Because it says, what did it say in that last verse there? It said, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Yeah, I used to be darkness, but I'm not anymore. So I don't have to do the things of darkness. I can do the things of light. Number three, when we invalidate irreverence, when we get rid of that bad speech, when we're imitating Christ, then we should illuminate Christ in our speech. Our speech should be to illuminate, to show others who Christ is. Colossians 4:6. See, salt is tasty and it's wholesome. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. This is wholesome communication that is a speech that has grace in it. What is the most graceful thing that we can do? Philippians 1 and verse 27. What does the Bible say here? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our communication is to have the standards and the goals of the gospel presented in how we speak. What we're supposed to be talking about and what we're supposed to be representing is the gospel. It is the Great Commission. It's to positively promote the mission of the institution. Jesus says, go, teach, and preach. Go back and read Matthew. Go back and read Mark. Go back and read Luke and John and Acts. Go and teach and preach. That means to tell, to use your mouth verbally. Some people will say, well, I can just show the love of Christ in my actions. That's part of it too. But he says the verbs are to go and talk about me, to go and tell people. The song doesn't go, go show it on the mountain. It says, go tell it on the mountain. It's vocally, verbally speaking the gospel truth. I was watching college basketball this week and I noticed, and this has been going on for years, you ever see them on the sidelines with bottles, but they've got the label torn off? You know, it's just a clear water bottle or clear, you know it's Gatorade or Powerade, but they've got the label torn off. And sometimes you watch a show or something like that and they've got it blurred out. You know it's Coca-Cola, but they've got it blurred out. The reason why they do that is because they're not getting sponsored by that company. So they don't want Life Water getting any sponsorship. Or if the company's being sponsored by Powerade and a player's got a Gatorade, that's a bad look. So they blur out or they say you have to take off the Gatorade label because we don't want misrepresentation or we don't want another company getting the getting advertised while we're having this game in front of millions of people. And I was looking at that and I thought to myself, you know, they blurred them out because no one's paying for that sponsorship. No one's paying for that to be shown. But Jesus paid it all. He sponsored you as a Christian. He's put everything into you and all power through the Holy Spirit in you, not to be blurred out or to be hidden, but to be advertised to the entire world. That is how we must illuminate Christ in our speech. Think about it this way. We illuminate a lot of things. We shed light. We say that all the time, right? We shed light on the subject. We shed light on a myriad of different subjects from time to time. The things we like. Some people will say, well, did you see, this week the big talk was, did you see how cold it was in the Miami Dolphins and Kansas City Chiefs game yesterday? And it was -7 at one point. And they illuminate things that are interesting. We illuminate politics. Did you see what the president said? Did you see what was going on with the Republican Party's debate? Did you see what's going on? We illuminate, we shed light on things that we care about or shed light on things that are interesting. But statistically speaking, the thing that Christians illuminate, statistically, the thing that Christians illuminate the least are spiritual things. The Bible says speaking to yourself in spiritual things and psalms and hymns, right? We talk way more about sports. We talk way more about dating. We talk way more about politics. We talk way more about work. We talk way more about our children, our grandchildren. We talk way more about our friends. We talk way more about our stuff. We talk way more about our sport. We talk way more about our technology. We talk way more about our instrument. We talk way more about everything but Christ. And when you're speaking of Christ, it will automatically, if you're truly saved, want to take out some irreverent speech because you won't want to be talking like that about Christ. You would never, as a true Christian, say Jesus Christ, and when you say it, be saying it as a curse word as a true Christian. You might, if you say that, I'm telling you, you're just as bad as an atheist in that moment. God, the Lord says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. No, he don't play with that. But if you're talking about him all the time, you probably have some good thoughts about him. You're illuminating him. You probably are going to get rid of some of that nasty talk. You know when I stop cursing? When I start talking about Jesus all the time. When the things that came out of my mouth was when I went from cursing inmates out to winning my staff to the Lord. Because the Lord kept working on me. We had a cuss jar. We got to put money in. We were trying to get rid of it or trying to get rid of these things. And even when you get mad at an inmate, it was like you came back and you're like, yeah, Corporal, you said 37 cuss words in that moment. I'm like, oh, man, I owe $37 for the cuss job. It gets expensive eventually. You know what I mean? Eventually you're like, you're not just doing it for Jesus. You're doing it because you're going to go broke, right? But the more I started speaking about Jesus, the less I had dirty words and filthy conversation coming out of my mouth. The more I illuminated Jesus, the more it lessened the world. Can I encourage you today? You say, Pastor, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Well, at the minimum, everybody needs to illuminate Jesus more. Everybody could talk about Jesus more. And so, with that being said today, the heads